Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com, jbsba.com. And don't forget, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, here's how you do it. Email it to me, askjim@jbsba.com. Steve Martin is our guest, a good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the president of Business Solutions, The Positive Way, also the author of Creative Approaches for Creating a Cost-Effective Organization, and he's our profit guru. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. And I like talking about profit, Steve, because I was introducing you earlier in the hour, the top of this hour, and telling them that you were going to join us and talk to us about how to improve our profit picture. And I said that, you know, that a while back someone said to me, you know, they weren't sure what I did and how we do what we do. And then they asked a question that wasn't that, you know, until he knew more about it, it wasn't that abnormal. But he said, are you a nonprofit? And I said, well, not intentionally.
Oh, yes.
And sadly, there are people, there are a lot of businesses out there. And some of them are startups. Some of them are not. Some of them have been in business for years, but all of us at some point in time, Steve, it is safe to say that essentially all businesses at some point in time are not for profit.
Unintentionally, right.
It happens to the best of us, and what you do when you join us is you help us to minimize that possibility, and we've been working on, we're on a series, we're talking about a list that you've developed and on how to do that, how to reduce costs and improve profits, and today I think we're on measurement, aren't we? Are we talking about how to measure our activities?
Absolutely, we're on item number 12 in a list of 55 items that I recommend people take a look at.
All right, and that's improving financial measurement. Now that sounds technical and boring.
Well, it is, unless you really want to be a for-profit organization.
Profit is not boring, right?
Profit's the engine of our economy. Let's face it. It's what keeps businesses of all sizes and types churning along, because you can only do it as a hobby for so long before you run out of cash. What I'm suggesting, Jim, is that you have to be able to see what your business is actually doing, what your costs are to deliver your product or service, and, of course, what profits derive from that, what activities and services actually drive the profits in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, you have to do a little math. Now, in the most sophisticated, larger organizations, they'll actually have cost accountants.
Right.
And controllers and a whole set of financial people that will keep their finger on the pulse of the entire organization.
They actually studied cost accounting as a discipline in college and then offered themselves to their employer as a cost accountant.
Absolutely, Jim. These are people who make a living out of doing this, and they enjoy it.
We have to lock them up at night, too, don't we? Just
well,
kidding.
They're pretty tame.
Just kidding, cost accountants. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But one very large manufacturing plant I ran, Jim, chemical plant, we knew to the thousandths of a penny per pound what each cost contributor was to our product.
Wow.
And this was, you know, back a few years ago, so we only knew it monthly.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, you can actually determine that on a live basis, on an ongoing basis.
Wow, in real time, and on a not even an hourly basis, but
yeah, pretty much real time with the most sophisticated packages out there. But of course, companies of big size are spending tens and hundreds of millions of dollars mm-hmm. in investment in software and people to be able to do that. And, you know, if we take a lesson from them, these are the big companies
right.
that are really profitable in competitive businesses, the lesson is that they know where they're going. They're not driving blind down the highway.
Right.
They've got some view of at least where they've been very, very recently, so they know the shape of the road. They know whether they're costs are going up or down.
And when we come back, Steve's going to help us take that perspective, that big business, those business best practices. I'll get this out in a minute, folks, promise. Those best practices from big business, he's going to help us apply that to our small businesses. 22, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Steve Martin, and we're talking about profit, actually your profit. And even if you don't have any yet, there's some out there. You just need to go find it, and we're going to help you do that. Steve's going to help us do that. He's our profit guru. And Steve, give us your website, please.
Jim, it's profitpro.us.
That says it all, folks. Don't forget the U.S. on the end. Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
You'll find dozens and dozens of pages of resources for small businesses and large businesses to help you maximize your profitability.
They can also find your book there, too, can't they?
Yes. Yep. I do sell the book, but there's a lot of free stuff there as well.
And also on my website, folks, when you find Steve in our Brain Trust, you'll see an awful lot of archives of shows that we've done with Steve in the past, plus some articles and a lot of, and also a link over to his website. Steve, you were talking earlier about the big companies. I'm glad you said it the way you did it, because how they approach profitability. You know, a lot of times small business owners sort of look askance at big companies. We think of them as our competitors, and there's a little bit of an attitude sometimes we have about them, and there are some things, there are many things that they can learn from us, but there are certain best practices, especially that we really need to pay attention to them and watch what they do, because those best practices, those fundamentals are the essence of why they're successful, isn't it?
That's exactly right, Jim. And one of those things, particularly what we're talking about today, is that they all have, or the best ones have, good sets of financial measures. They know on an ongoing basis what their costs are and what their profitability is.
You know, one example, Steve, of that is like the chemical plant that you were talking about. Now, I don't know what kind of energy it used, but I know those people. I know those kinds of companies, and they literally have two kinds. When they use energy, fire, for example, for heat or for whatever purpose they use it for, they actually have two different systems, at least two. One's electrical and one's natural gas. And they know in any given day when to switch from one to the other based on the cost per BTU.
Absolutely. Yeah, many, many operations will have even three different sources of
yeah.
of energy
mm-hmm.
for some
parts
of the operation.
And they literally will switch over on the day that electricity goes below natural gas or propane or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. But the a lot of small businesses don't have that luxury. But at the very least, in talking about energy, for example, a small business can understand what their energy costs are. And that means sitting down and looking at your bills. And just taking the time to look at where your electricity, your gas, and other utilities are running.
Mm-hmm.
And making observations. Now, I've seen small businesses that had warehouses and operating plants that were so poorly insulated and so poorly sealed that they were basically heating the whole block.
Right.
And cooling the whole block with air conditioning, when if they'd spent a few thousand dollars in terms of tightening the building up, or even just some time in terms of training and having folks keep doors closed, they could save thousands of dollars a year in energy costs.
So for small businesses, the low-hanging fruit cost accounting doesn't have to be 10 one-hundredths of a penny per BTU. It could be just turn the lights off or close the door, or let's add $500 worth of insulation and save $1,000 a year in energy.
Absolutely. And what you can do is just sit down with your bills. Hopefully, each small business has someone they've got contracted at the very least to do their expenses and profits on a monthly basis. I do recommend that, even if you can't afford someone internally. You should have someone do it outside. You can get that fairly inexpensively.
Otherwise, you are driving blind.
Oh, yeah. You have no clue. And a lot of things happen in the dark that you don't even recognize that are going on. So sit down with your list of expenses, look at your biggest ones, and find out where it's going. Take one expense a month or one expense a week and just think it through. All right, I'm spending this much money. Where is it going, and where is it adding value to my product?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't answer the question to say that something that you're spending money on is actually putting value into your product, then it's a candidate for being cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Find a lot of people who are spending money on things that add no value to their service,
to the customer,
product.
To their relationship with the customer.
Absolutely. It's something they may have been doing for the last 5 years and they're comfortable with it, or they're routine with it, but today may be absolutely worthless.
5 years ago, it was a big deal to customers. Today, customers don't care.
Exactly.
They could actually be that way. You know, another thing, Steve, that's going on right now is the price of fuel, gasoline, diesel.
And, oh, it's a major
and
issue.
It's really kicking small businesses and you know, between the eyes, and so a lot of companies that have trucks on the road and cars on the road, they're really having to relook at their routes, at their frequency of delivery and all that, and that's an important cost control measure, isn't it?
Absolutely. I've worked with one small distribution company, Jim. You know, it's about they were doing about $5-10 million in distribution and driving thousands and thousands of miles a week. And the investment in a relatively inexpensive computer program helped them determine the optimum driving routes.
Right.
To save money and time. And it paid for itself in the first month.
Those resources are out there, folks. You need to look for them. Tintil, we'll be right back with our good friend Steve Martin. Stay with us. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our profit guru, Mr. Steve Martin. And we're talking about how to improve the profitability of your company by doing a little measurement, by looking around and do a little MBWA, right, Steve?
Management by walking around. Yep.
Steve, give us your website one more time.
It's profitpro.us.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to that website and find out some of the things that Steve has to say and check out his book. You're going to learn so much. And the good thing about what Steve does and what he says is it's plain English. It's the kind of stuff that you and I can understand. And Steve, I appreciate it. I appreciate that about you and you making that available. So don't forget to check out the website, profitpro.us. Steve, let's get into something a little more technical, maybe a little more sophisticated than just turning the lights off. What's another example? Let's say that we've got that covered and we're ready to go to the next level of sophistication. What's a good example?
Good example is labor. Simple. It's sophisticated yet it's simple, and that is doing a labor analysis in your operation, because people are typically the largest cost in most businesses. One of the most powerful tools you can use is a timesheet. Now, oh, I can hear people turning over saying, oh, we're not going to do that. Our people would never stand for it. Well, you don't have to institute timesheets for every day of the year from here on out. Just do it for a sample.
It's a study.
Yeah, have your people engage them. First of all, tell them what you want to do. You want to find out where the time and money are going because you want to be able to have a great, solid, profitable company for everybody.
Well, you also can say, we just want to make sure we're using our resources in the right direction.
Absolutely. And maybe you need more resources in some areas and maybe less.
But our customers are evolving. We need to make sure we're keeping up with them.
Absolutely. And this is really a sophisticated sampling technique, but it's within the reach of everybody. And that is just have one group of people or one department in your company, depending on how large it is, or maybe everybody, fill out a timesheet for some period of time. Now, typically, that might be a few days. It might be a week. It might even be a month, depending on how varied the cycle of your work is. And the more varied it is, the longer you're going to want to run it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you sit down and do then is take like jobs and start listing what people are actually doing during their 8-hour or whatever time period they work during their workday and see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take an extreme example, Jim, and that is a receptionist. I see small companies that have receptionists sitting out there alone in this small office in the front, knitting.
Right.
And every 10 minutes or whatever, the phone might ring, and then they answer it and go on.
Well, but the bad news is, though, Steve, is after a while, I've seen those people do that, and they get the idea that their job is to knit, not to answer the phone.
Well, that's exactly
right. Because they don't answer the phone very well.
and not to say anything against receptionists,
because
in some cases they're the voice of the company and the most important employee
have.
But in a lot of companies, that activity really adds no value. And as much as I hate automated phone systems, if you're not doing a lot of customer interface directly through that, or you have a direct dial system where the customer can get directly through the people they want to talk to, that activity may not be well used and may not actually be providing value to the
company. Don't let their first assignment be the receptionist. One thing I'm going to argue against is getting the automated systems. I hate those things, and
so
I want a human being answering my phone. But the thing is that we answer our phone around here, but we don't have a receptionist. We just have people who answer the phone.
That's a big difference. If the customer or the client or whoever you're working with can call direct the person they need to talk to without an intermediate step, then it's better for everybody.
And so what you've just done is you've freed up a person, or at least maybe 75% of a person's activity, for other things.
Exactly. But if your timesheet shows that they're on the phone 80% of the time handling things and doing this, that, and the other, and even when they're not on the phone, they're doing important clerical work for you, now you have a different story. You have a different image, and you can adjust the workload.
Exactly. Well said, Steve. We got more profitability to come next time Steve joins us. Thank you for today, Steve. Good job.
My pleasure, Jim. Always enjoy it.
See you next time. Steve Martin, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.